from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Molina. An impossible catch. Oh my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner. Howdy, my friends.
Let's go.
We're still working on that, Joe. I'm sorry.
Woo!
It's just gotta come.
It was a long weekend.
It'll eventually get there.
Yeah, I mean, we're like 2 months in this season, so if you could figure it out anytime soon.
If you could do your effing job, that'd be amazing.
Get your S together, for God's sakes.
It's like that line in Office Space. What would you say you do here?
Host a baseball show.
I mean, I could go like old style producer and write you guys like a little 4-word script. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Some fun, quirky opener.
That'd be amazing. Hope everybody had a great and safe Memorial Day weekend. Shout out to the troops and all of those that have
to the
fallen for our wonderful rights in this amazing country that we live in that still doesn't have water in places and healthcare is out of control and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it was a great day to or a great weekend to be an American. Beautiful, beautiful weekend out at Trillium Lake for me, except for Saturday. Saturday was kind of a mess, but Sunday and Monday made up for it weather-wise.
The only way I can tell you to spend a great weekend representing America is to go to Idaho.
Oh, the most boring state in the union.
I went to Idaho, my friend, and it was not boring.
You hit some sick rapids.
Some sick rapids, bro. Shred the gnar.
Some sick class fives, bro.
Hang out with the racists.
I met this guy who was sick. They were camping next to us, and I was like, oh, man, you don't feel good? Like, you just hung over?
And now you're back in this confined space with me.
No,
sweet,
no,
dude.
It's fine.
Thank you.
I was like, oh, are you just hung over? He was like, no, man, dude, I'm super sick. Like, the night before, I took, and he said some drugs that he took, and they were, like, three things that all sounded like horse tranquilizers. And I was like, well, wait, hey, man, maybe that's why you don't feel good right now.
Took some ivermectin, some ketamine. Mixed them both together.
What a night.
No.
I mean, it was awesome for like 15 minutes.
It was the weirdest thing, dude. You just meet people out there, and he was like from Bozeman, Montana. And Bozeman, Montana is a great place. But I met him, and he said like these were the drugs he took, and I would never even know what they are or how to find them. But then somebody was like, oh, Jesus, is what a friend of mine said. And if they responded that way, then I thought to myself, this was probably not a great idea, amigo.
This specific friend, when they were caught off guard by it?
Yeah.
When they were like, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah. Great human, but like they're in the know.
Yeah, well, that will happen on rafting trips in Idaho. I heard those things are just lousy with horse tranquilizer type drugs, and just it's basically like a rave out there.
Basically,
from what I understand,
what happens in Idaho backwoods stays in Idaho.
Just backwoods. Don't let the cops find you because they're not going to be happy with what you got. Weed is a big deal. You got some weed on you, you going to jail.
They'll get down.
You got some ivermectin, though. It's like, well, hey, he might be a rancher or something, so we'll let it slide.
Nice horse parasite remover, ivermectin. That'll get you effed up.
COVID healer.
Totes. Yeah, man.
Prophecy from several very, 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 very trustworthy national media sources.
It was a little cold out there. I'm excited to be here.
How cold was it there? Like, what was the lowest it got to while you were camping?
I showed up on Thursday at about 1 o'clock, and it was 38 degrees.
38? Oh my God, you guys. That's about the temperature it was when I showed up to Trillium Lake on Saturday.
Yeah, I think the water was warmer than the outside, which is really weird. The water was probably about 40, 41 degrees.
Hot tub it.
But there was times when it got to like 65, and then you went in the shade and it was 45.
Yeah, Sunday was awesome at out at Trillium Lake.
I had a nice Sunday as well.
Saturday was like when we got near Mount Hood and Government Camp in that area, and the weather wasn't like getting any better. And then I noticed on the GPS that the turn was coming up to turn right to go towards Trillium Lake. And it was just the temperature was staying the same, below 40. There was, you know, it wasn't like downpouring rain, but it was raining. You know, it was a solid little sprinkle going on. There was definitely a feeling that came over me that I was like, yeah, I definitely should have told the girlfriend I just wanted to stay home this weekend. Yeah, just like, there was instant regret.
I think you mentioned that last week that you were looking ahead to it and you were like,
we'll see. But Sunday made up for it. It was beautiful on Sunday. I think it got up to like 63-ish, 64 over at Trillium Lake.
Oh, that's the Sahara when you're camping.
Out in Mount Hood, yeah. And God. The clouds, like, they ended up going away, so you could see the mountain perfectly. And so we did a nice little walk around the lake, and it was great. Great food. Also, my rock skipping skills... insane.
On point.
Top tier.
Just like did a little work. Like you knew the first few were going to be bad, but then you started focusing.
Oh.
Really looking at rocks.
Really got that elbow tucked in and got
little
that.
Little submarine action.
Oh, yeah, dude. That sidearm. It was nasty.
How's your back feel?
I'm fine. I'm fine. The hips were real oily out there. It was really good.
I always worry about those submarine guys. It's not just the elbow. Like, the elbow looks crazy, but I worry about your back.
Oh, no. I'm all good. I got that good hip rotation. They say that the golf swing is a lot like skipping rocks. It's because, you know, on the downswing, you want to get that elbow tucked in.
Get
on
YouTube
right now. You want to dip right there. And, yeah, my girlfriend could not have been more horned up with the amount of skips I was getting in my rock. She was looking at me, biting her lip.
Dude, some Swamp A tent booby? Like, yeah. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, she was real aroused with that rock skipping.
I went solo by myself. The wife stayed home, so I had to imagine tent boogie.
Ew. I mean, tent boogie's fun, but it also can be quite awful. So maybe that was better.
Dude, we're getting boned with the Hulu login right now. What's going on?
I have no idea, dude.
What the hell is happening?
Got me set up in here. Minnesota leads 66-62 halfway through the third.
Oh, finally. You finally show up. That's what's really funny to me. So we stayed in Lewiston, Idaho, for a night before we had to drive another, you know, 2.5-3 hours to get to where we're going. And it's 5 hours to Lewiston. And we watched game one of the Western Conference Finals. And we're sitting there at this bar in the Clearwater River Casino and Resort. Let me tell you, resort was false advertisement.
Playing with that word a little loosely there.
Even casino was a little loose. And we have
one table, two slots.
Yeah, we have five no slot machines total.
No tables.
No tables. That
sucks.
Okay, that is not a casino. That's a deli.
And yes, we're in the bar, and the bar looks like a high school cafeteria. And they said, just so you know, if you're staying overnight, the restaurant won't be open because one of our coworkers unfortunately passed away and the service is tomorrow. We were like, wow, this is insane. I got to get out of here. And we watched the Mavericks beat the Timberwolves in game one. And we were kind of like, wow, that's crazy. And then we exited the grid and had no idea what happened in any of sports from Wednesday night to Monday at about 1 o'clock. And that is a wild thing to just, for us that like eat, sleep, and breathe sports, it's wild to not know what's going on.
Completely disconnect like that.
Yeah. I mean, it was Thursday night and we were like, wow, I wonder, you know, you think the Celtics beat the Pacers tonight? Yeah, I mean, probably, but like, you know, who was the guy? Was it Brown? Was it Tatum? Did White go off? Was Drew just like a monster on defense? Did Halliburton play? We have no idea.
Yeah, it felt very dirty of me because Saturday afternoon night, because there is service up at Trillium Lake. You get a few bars.
Mm-hmm.
And so someone that was camping with our group was a Celtics fan. So he brought out the iPad to watch like the second half or the fourth quarter or something like that. So we did watch that, but it didn't feel good. I felt like it was wrong.
Yeah.
That I shouldn't be doing this.
I'm breaking rules, right?
Now. Exactly. Yeah. It's like camping. It's like no TV, no watching anything unless you're the 2-year-old that was at the campsite that just needed to be, you know, like, you know, put in a relaxive state because she was throwing up or pooping her pants or whatever. It's like, you know, just watch your Cocoa Melon, I guess. We'll give you that. But for an adult watching like live television, a live sports broadcast while camping, no, it just didn't sit right.
Yeah. On Sunday, we had somebody who had to run into town because they had to get some service, which is 40 miles away. They had to get some service to check on something. And I said, hey, while you're there, can you check the basketball scores and the hockey scores if you got a second? And they forgot and they came back. And for a brief moment, I was sad that they forgot. But then it was like, ah, you know what? We'll figure it out tomorrow.
I mean, I don't know, you guys. I don't agree with the whole, like, not watching anything while you're camping. I'm more of a glamper, so... But
you have a TV in said RV.
On my Starlink.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God. No Elon Musk Starlink there. We can't get it anywhere, but we can watch TV. But really, beyond that, even if I didn't want to watch TV, usually we just set up the radio. Like, have you guys never... I mean, we work in radio. Did you not think to bring a radio to find the signal...
There is no signal where I was. Fortunately, SiriusXM clicked in, but I'm not trying to like play a baseball game on my SiriusXM while I'm out there.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just when I'm camping, it's just the last thing on my mind is what is going on back in the real world.
And yeah, it's like a fleeting moment that flies through your brain. You're like, oh, right.
Yeah, I wonder what's happening. But...
I assume the Timberwolves blew out the Mavericks in game two because they lost game one, right? Oh, okay, we'll move past that.
Yeah. But no, it was. I'm just glad that we got some good weather. And I realized that is the closest I've been to Old Mountain Hood. As we called it over the weekend.
Mountain Hood.
Mountain Hood.
Oh, Mountain Hood, coming up to
see. It's Christian name.
Yes, yes, yeah. It's real name. I haven't been that close in a damn long time. I don't go snowboarding or skiing or anything like that. No snow activities. To see that thing just bam, right there. I was pleasantly surprised, and it was gorgeous.
All up in your grill. Oakley-Dokley, well, we have a baseball show for you tonight. There's a lot to get to. Stop me if you've heard this before. We'll get to that in about 15 minutes. Also, the end of an era, an icon, is leaving us.
Yeah, that's one way to put it.
Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll also look at the National League and kind of take a peek around. You know, there's a couple teams that aren't playing very well, and if the season ended right now, they'd be in the playoffs. So we'll take a look around the National League and see what teams need to do to get better. Plus, we'll have Fair or Foul at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. But when we come back, I have to use a moment to speak about something, and we'll do that next. This is the Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Have you ever been to a volcano?
Yes, just this last weekend.
718 Portland Sports Leader, don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. Coming up in about 15 minutes. Stop me if you've heard this before. And in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll dive into the National League and see teams that are playing well and teams that aren't, and see what's going on, because it is a mess in the National League right now. But I'd like to start here. You know, it's funny. I got into service at about 11 o'clock a.m. yesterday, and I got the word that the legend Bill Walton passed away. And yeah. It's been really interesting. I listened to ESPN Radio, and I listened to, you know, some other stuff just kind of talking about it. And it's wild to see somebody that I feel like we teased a lot, and a lot of people maybe never took him very seriously, to see the outpouring of how beloved and amazing this man was.
Hell yeah, dude.
Obviously, us here in Portland, we have a huge, huge connection to Bill Walton, as he brought us our only title.
See, you did it right there. What was driving me nuts yesterday on ESPN and SportsCenter is
Celtic legend Bill Walton.
No, but whenever they would bring up the Trailblazers title, they're like, their only title.
Yeah, it is.
It seemed like
funny.
They made to let people know.
And
by the way, that is their only championship. Reminding you guys, you know, it's almost been 50 years. Their only one.
And I mean that as lovingly of our only title. And they're just like, remember, the Blazers suck. Do you remember they just traded Dame Lillard? You know, those guys, they're idiots. You know, LaMarcus, all that stuff. The, like, the 99 playoffs against the Lakers.
Dude, Van Pelt did it. There was I might have been Wilbon during their little produced piece that they had, but there was multiple times just there. I'm like, oh yeah, we know it's our only one. Okay, stop. Thank you.
But I want to talk about Bill Walton for a completely different reason.
Oh, I know which route you're going.
I feel like Bill's in a weird way looking down on this stupid little baseball show that we do, as the bumper music that came back is Goose. They are a jam band. That song is called Hunger Sight. I love that. They cover a lot of the Grateful Dead. And for me, you know, I was thinking about it and I was talking with you, Joe, today about what are we going to talk about? You know, we're both kind of out of the realm for a little bit of the, over the weekend, trying to figure out what's happened in baseball, how to build this show, how to talk to you about baseball. And I sat in my car all day yesterday listening to stories about Bill and all this kind of stuff. And what really resonates to me is that Bill Walton, first and foremost, was a basketball player, maybe. But second and foremost, Bill Walton was a deadhead. And as somebody who just came back from a trip where I was introduced to the Grateful Dead when I was about 8 years old, and have been listening to that band for 30 years. I guess I'm 38. If I said eight, then about 30 years. The coolest thing I ever loved about Bill Walton, other than the fact that he just loved life better than anybody else, is that Bill Walton and I shared two loves. We shared a love for the Pac-10, the Pac-12, and we shared a love for the Grateful Dead. And I saw today on Instagram, Mickey Hart, who's one of the two drummers for the Grateful Dead, posted today talking about how Bill was his best friend and one of the most amazing people and an honorary member of the Dead. And just thinking about Bill Walton, and I think the thing I love about him the most is that even though basketball was his job, it wasn't the only thing that he loved. And I think that's important to remember, that your job is not who you are. It is a part of what you are, but it is not who you are. And he's a dead guy, just like me, and that makes me feel special.
Well, the passion for the Dead and jam bands, it does not go unnoticed, as the Vancouver Ford text line, someone chimes in. Thanks for the goose bumper music. So they recognize it as well. And yeah,
and we wouldn't have goose bumper music if we didn't have the Grateful Dead.
Yeah. So and this is the one time of year where I will not crack a joke about jam bands or the Grateful Dead, because there is something about that following, that fan base, that that cult-like following of the band.
It's borderline religious.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it reminds me a lot of one of your other favorite band followings is the Dave Matthews Band. Mm-hmm. And that kind of falls in that same lane as far as genre goes. And it's really amazing to see that connection come through after this. And people remember, like you said, all the things that he truly loved and was known for outside of his basketball career. And that it almost seems like when this moment happens, like that is almost second fiddle to everything else. Like it's him being a deadhead, him being a commentator, him loving the Pac-12, him being a rights activist in multitude of ways, his love for nature. And then it's like, oh yeah, and the dude was one of the best basketball players of all time.
Oh, side note.
Keep in mind,
I got to see Bill Walton. I never met him, but I got to see him call a Wazoo game.
And it's like,
oh my God, that's Bill Walton.
I got to see Bill Walton in a very strange way. It was almost like seeing like this figure that wasn't real. Like, so I was in Eugene, I was going to school and trying to get to class one morning and driving around campus, trying to find a parking spot somewhere. And there's this really big parking lot right across the street from campus off of 13th, over by where Taylor's used to be. But I think it was more so for like faculty and staff, and I think some students could park there. But there's this SUV that parked there, and I'm driving by the parking lot and I just see this giant of a man. And it was Bill Walton. But in that moment, I'm like, holy crap, was that Bill Walton? And so sure enough, I had to park my car and then look up, like, is there an Oregon basketball game tonight? Yeah. Who are they playing? Yeah. What channel is it on? Like, right. What the hell is happening? Because I think that was Bill Walton. It was one of those moments where I'm like, dude, that I don't know who else that could have been. A giant of a man with that hairstyle and that look, like, in the split second of seeing him. And then sure enough, later that night, I see he is in Oregon. He's calling a game for ESPN. And he was also there at the library because he had a, like, this big love for the Oregon Library and the history behind that. Like, that dude knew so much and, again, had so many passions that there was this whole backstory of why he was at the library that day and got there, you know, 12 hours before the game was even ready to go and ready to start because he was doing something at the library. I think it was maybe when he was doing his book tour or something.
About his bicycle?
Yeah, possibly. Or volcanoes. But... yeah, that was one of those moments where I saw Bill Walton. I couldn't believe it. It was like almost like seeing Sasquatch in the wild. And but yeah, I mean, that dude, he is absolute legend in this area. Sucked to see, obviously, that he passed. To use the old Norm MacDonald joke, I didn't even know he was sick. But yeah, I'm sure that seeing that yourself because of the connection you have with the music that you and him both like, I'm sure that was tough.
Yeah, and I think one thing for music, you know, I love the idea. Bands that play a ton of shows a year. I told this story to Jason and Isaac as they were leaving the studio. Something that's really cool. I mean, like, Bill Walton wasn't just a fan. Like, if there's a Mount Rushmore of the greatest Grateful Dead fans, deadheads as we call them, Bill Walton's up there. And he's up there with a guy named Richard, who became the first ever archivist of the Grateful Dead. He was a big tape trader, and he listened to so many shows and went to so many shows, and was eventually hired by the band because he told them it was very special to save your recordings and potentially release those. And so there's this wonderful series for the Grateful Dead called Dick's Picks. Picks. P-I-C-K-S. Like, I chose this, not Brett Favre stuff. But
the dude was revolutionary. But what he did that before.
Yeah, but what he would do is he would say, hey, I love this show from 77 or 72 or 68 or 88 and 92. And he would say, we should master this and release it. And they created Dick's Picks. And he has over 50 releases from that. And that would have never started without Bill Walton. Bill Walton found him at a show randomly and said, hey, I love your shirt. Where can I get one of those? And Dick took the shirt off and gave it to Bill. And Bill said, hey, come with me. And he introduced them to the band. And Dick became the first ever archivist of the Grateful Dead and was the gatekeeper of their live releases. And when he eventually died, he passed that on to Dave Lemieux. Dave Lemieux is also on the Mount Rushmore because now he has Dave's Picks in honor of Dick, and none of that. We have all these soundboards and high quality. You can go on Spotify, whatever your service is, and you can find all these. And all that was created from Bill Walton simply because he just was a happy guy, and he felt that the Dead can give you some happiness. I was just on this trip, and I said, I can't wait till Sunday. And everybody was like, well, what's on Sunday? And I said, well, on Sunday, it's the Lord's Day, so we play the Dead. It's Grateful Sunday. And I can't figure out what show I should play. And I ended up playing Egypt in 78. And sure enough, Bill Walton was at those shows when they played Egypt around the pyramids. And I don't know. I'm tangenting. I'm channeling my inner Bill Walton right now. But I think that's amazing. Wonderful human being. Obviously a Portland legend. But touches me in ways that it goes beyond basketball.
Well, it's funny that, you know, the moment that I remember where I saw Bill Walton down in Eugene at the U of O campus, and I went back to find, like, all right, what was the reason he was there? Because I knew he was at the library for some specific reason, but he went to the library, and I love this because the headline for the story is, library fan, Bill Walton. Like, of course he was a library fan. I love libraries, the books, the stories, like that.
The
that
magical places they can
just
take you.
The silence is just deafening, but yet beautiful. But he was there paying a visit to the Knight Library, hooking up with two former members of Ken Kesey's Merry Pranksters.
Yep. Kesey might be the fourth member of the Dead Rushmore.
Well, and that's what I was saying. He is well-known, a fan of the Grateful Dead, a band that had close ties to Kesey. Joining him in the library were Ken Babbs and Carolyn Garcia.
The Bus, known as Further.
Both members of Kesey's counterculture group, the Merry Pranksters. Garcia was once married to Jerry Garcia, lead guitarist of the Grateful Dead. And his quote, "This is my family," Walton said. And so, yeah, I mean, the whole reason he was there is because of the connection to Ken Kesey, the Grateful Dead, Merry Pranksters, all of that right here. So crazy. Crazy how the stars intertwine like that.
What a cool story. Like a guy that is literally known for communicating with people and wanting to make the world a better place and just, you know, get people together. He's literally responsible for more people knowing and enjoying the Grateful Dead. So that's pretty awesome.
Rest in peace, my friend. If I saw you right now, I would tell you what I heard in an interview today. I would just roll away the dew, my friend. All right. That's me on a soapbox. Thank you to the two of you and to you listeners out there for letting me, indulging me and sharing that. I love you, Bill. I never met you, but thank you for everything. As Mickey Hart said, you're my best friend. You're one of the most wonderful people in the world. And as Bill always said, I'm the luckiest man alive. Kudos to you, my friend. We come back. I hate to say it. Usually I like to say it because it sounds funny, but I hate to say it. Stop me if you've heard this before. But first, Schultzy with sports.
503-864-6326 is the Vancouver Ford text line. All texts to the fan are via the Vancouver Ford text line. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford that you should write before, during, and after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com. I got my 2022 Ford Bronco out in the parking lot right now. Please don't rob me. They are treating me right before, during, and after. Can't say enough about our friends there. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll dive into the National League and take a look around. Boy, it's just a mess. The Central is wide open. What's going on in the East? Are the Phillies good, even though they haven't played anybody? The Dodgers, et cetera, et cetera. But let's start here. Stop me if you've heard this before, and this is probably will be the number one headline of the 2024 season. I don't care who wins the World Series. I think this is the bigger news than anything there. Ronald Acuña Jr. is out for the season as he has torn the ACL in his left knee after 2 years removed from tearing the ACL in his right knee. And let's, before we talk about what this means for the Braves, just this is a bad blow for baseball, if I'm being honest. The last time the Braves, this happened, the Braves won the World Series. But when you look at fantasy baseball drafts, when you look at us idiots that are projecting, you know, to channel Suk a little bit about, oh, who's the face of baseball? Like, I don't want to do that. But like Ronald Acuña is a face of baseball. I like to think baseball is more than one person, even though Shohei is Shohei. I like to think there's other dudes. Losing Ronald Acuña for the 2024 season, as I feel baseball is gaining some momentum, is pretty difficult.
Yeah, pretty difficult in general. I mean, like, in this year, I was reading an article today. I mean, we already knew this, but with hitting being down as much as it is, like, just losing any pop in any lineup at this point, any big name on that side of the plate is just, it really takes the wind out of the sails for the league. But especially, I mean, for this Braves team. I mean, he wasn't having a Ronald Acuña-esque season.
Yet.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, we saw Judge, start putting some things together. We saw Jose Ramirez start putting some things together, and good baseball players figure it out. So was it just a matter of time? But now we don't get to see that, and you just got to feel that in that clubhouse, in that fan base, that you want to talk about wind out of the sails. It's just like you're losing one of your leaders, if not your leader on that side of the ball. It's just devastating.
Well, I think one of the most difficult things about it is, like, let me just like dial this back for a minute. Let's just take the name off the jersey for a second. Last year, we have a bunch of new rule changes where yours truly here is very skeptical of. It's very much like pitch clock, larger bases, I don't know. You're trying to create offense, but shorten the game. The more hits you have, the longer the game goes because of pitching changes, et cetera, et cetera.
Taking away the shift.
And Ronald Acuña made me a believer in the new rules. I mean, he stole 80 bags last year, something we haven't seen since Ricky, you know? And Ricky hasn't played since he played in the early 2000s, but let's be real. Like, Ricky hasn't played since the mid-90s, late 90s, and now we have this resurgence of stolen bases. Like, I'm in a fantasy league where stolen bases are things people are talking about. And we never talked about them because we didn't care, because nobody ever did it. So even if you take the name off the back of the jersey, he was doing things that nobody else thought would happen from the rule changes. He's the reigning National League MVP. I still thought, up until I heard about this injury, that the Braves were the best team in the National League. I know the Dodgers are the Dodgers, but the Braves 5-9 blows the Dodgers 5-9 out of the water. And losing him is, I think, the worst thing that could have happened to baseball this year.
I mean, in general, for the league, you're now looking at what, like the 10th major star that's very marketable, Mike Trout. How many other pitchers that you've seen go down, where essentially guys that are in your commercials for the postseason or the All-Star game right now are gone. So now no Fairweather fan has a reason to tune in because the names they recognize are down. And then for the Braves, you talk about the Dodgers in comparison. One thing the Braves do have is a lot better 5-9, and they have a lot better protection for each other in that lineup. Ultimately, the protection that Acuña offers to Ozzie Albies to everybody else on that roster is now gone, and that's a big deal. Obviously, the stolen bases are big as well with the rule changes, but that's something, man, they're going to be pitched to a lot more aggressively by starters now going every game into Atlanta.
I saw the opening day roster for the Atlanta Braves has played one game together.
Yikes.
That's it.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
that's it.
Not surprised. I mean,
you know, Riley's been a little banged up. They're platooning Kelnick out there. You know, Ozuna's missed a couple games. Not bad, but like, guys just miss games.
Kelnick's going to start now. Like, every game is
what I read. Of course Kelnick's going to start now. And let's move that to this Braves conversation. I saw today that the Braves are not, they're saying it now. We'll see what happens when the deadline comes. But the Braves are saying, we're looking more internally for the Acuña replacement. And while I love that, because you're kind of saying, hey, we've got a great farm system, which they do, and we're going to move that up. But it also makes me wonder if the Braves are kind of showing their hand here and saying, I don't know if we can trust him to be healthy all the time now.
Talking about Acuña being?
Yeah, that we've got to start looking internally and saying, can these guys be viable players in case Acuña goes, you know, Reds Griffey or Trout now, or like you had a flash and now we just can't rely on you, so we have to have someone internally instead of trading away all our guys to get people to come in to replace you. That I mean, the Braves are run really well, but I wonder if they tip their hand there.
Well, the thing is with Acuña, I mean, the thing they have going for him is that he's not signed to an insane deal, right? It's not one of these 10-year, 300 million. It was what? When they signed him, it was a 9-year, 95.
We talked about this. He's one of those young guys that took money up front, and that's going to help them from a payroll standpoint.
He's still 26. Like, whether he'll be able to...
But he's not coming back until the All-Star game next year.
Yeah. I get it. But the way that ACLs are now, like, you tore both one in each knee now.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that, if it keeps happening and it's just more knee injuries after more, like, yeah, there's a cause for concern, but I don't know. I feel like with his age, and you have, if you look at his games played by season, I mean, his rookie year, 111. Year after that, in 2019, 156. In 2020, he gave you 46 in that 60-game season. 2021, first knee injury, 82 games. 2022, 119. Last year, 159. And then he's done for the year with 49. So there's a lot of at least 119, 111 games played in his career.
Well, the best thing about him, shout out Bill Walton, is he loves baseball.
Yeah.
So if he can play, he's gonna play.
Yeah,
but to be a little biased and look at a player that I love, that I absolutely loved in a different sport, who dealt with something like this, obviously not the caliber of Ronald Acuña, but somebody who won titles and was great. This reminds me of Klay Thompson. Okay, Klay Thompson was absolutely phenomenal. Two knee surgeries and then an Achilles, and he's done.
Well, I would say the Achilles is probably what.
The Achilles is probably the one, but even more. But even after the two knees, it was like that's not the Clay we're used to.
Yeah, but I mean,
am I crazy on this?
No, but I don't want to, and I'm not a sports, doctor, but I would say that, like, when it comes to basketball versus baseball, which one do you need to have better knees in?
Basketball.
It's a little bit more hips.
Fair.
Upper
fair
body
point.
In baseball, whereas, like, knees, yeah, it's important for, like, sprinting and stealing bases like he does. But as far as that up and down jumping motion that happens in basketball, I mean, that's why you see dudes with giant ice packs around their knees after NBA games, because they're literally disintegrating by the second. So that's where, again, like torn ACLs, yeah, they suck. But as far as like baseball player goes, I mean, what? It's May. He might be back by the beginning of next season.
Real quickly, and then we'll get out on this. Does this change your perspective on the Braves? The last time this happened, the Braves won the World Series.
Yes. I mean, again, he was not having a Ronald Acuna-type season.
There's no Spencer Strider.
If he had four home runs and I think like 15 RBIs. He had a good amount of stolen bases, but it's just been a weird season already for him and the Braves. And just losing him and the potential of like what you said, like he wasn't playing like Acuna yet, but now knowing that you just will not have him there anymore, It is a total blow to this team's psyche. That if you're looking at, you know, the top of the National League, the Phillies team, the NL East, they're licking their chops. They're like, this is ours for the taking now.
Yeah, really quickly, Patrick, I kind of want to side with Joe on this one. I'm usually a conspiracy theory guy. I love it. I love putting the tinfoil hat on like 90% of the time. But the market for hitters, I mean, regardless of what teams wanted to pay, it didn't seem like teams were very hot on free agents this year. I kind of see that as maybe a reason for the Braves looking internally. And it can have success. Look at what the Mariners did last year with Mike Ford. He came up with 13 homers, 40-some ribbies. And then the Reds did the same thing with him this year. It's possible to find internal solutions.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. We'll keep an eye on them, but for the 12th year in a row of the 10 years we've done this, my World Series prediction doesn't sound really awesome, as I still pick the Braves, as I do every year, and I think the only year I didn't was in 2021. So we'll keep an eye on the Braves and see what this Acuna thing does. I just hope it doesn't put baseball a step back. When we come back, somebody else is stepping back. And
I think we're happy about this one.
I think we're a little more excited about this, but let's dive a little more into the X's and O's on that. It's the Hot Corner today, the Fan. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, at the bottom of the hour, we'll have Farrah Fowl, as we always do, and we'll touch on the National League. Joe and I were just talking during the break about if you're down 3-0, do you just mail it in and kind of say, hey, this has never happened, so I don't know what we're going to do.
Cancun on three.
Galveston on three.
Galveston
on three. But we finally have the end of an era in baseball, and that is Angel Hernandez, 30-plus year umpire in Major League Baseball, has decided to call it quits. Now, I don't know if there's ever been a headline in the history of baseball, and you know me, I'm a history nut when it comes to baseball. I don't know if I've ever heard of an umpire calling it quits in the middle of a season, but here we are with Angel Hernandez calling it quits. I think Ken Rosenthal tweeted out that there was pressure from Major League Baseball to get him to resign. And
Angel, for the love of God,
and
please.
Like a mutual resignation. But Angel's lawyer came out and said that Major League Baseball did not do that. So a little bit of a squirrely sources there on that. But what I find interesting, and I think the first thing that comes to my brain, like I've seen a ton of awesome memes. All right. When Angel Hernandez takes a selfie and it's like his ear. You know, it's like not his face, it's just his ear because he's way outside.
Him signing his resignation papers and he signed it to the
like
right.
All the boxes that you need to check are like checked outside the box.
Just a bit outside.
So it's been really funny to see those memes. But what I thought was interesting is, and somebody...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. Get 6 times longer lasting freshness plus odor protection with Downy Unstoppables in wash scent beads.
3-8-6-4-6-3-2-6 is the Vancouver Ford text line. All text the fan or via the Vancouver Ford text line. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford that you should write before, during, and after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com. I got my 2022 Ford Bronco out in the parking lot right now. Please don't rob me. They are treating me right before, during, and after. Can't say enough about our friends there. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll dive into the National League and take a look around. Boy, it's just a mess. The Central is wide open. What's going on in the East? Are the Phillies good, even though they haven't played anybody? The Dodgers, et cetera, et cetera. But let's start here. Stop me if you've heard this before, and this is probably... will be the number one headline of the 2024 season. I don't care who wins the World Series. I think this is the bigger news than anything there. Ronald Acuña Jr. is out for the season as he has torn the ACL in his left knee after 2 years removed from tearing the ACL in his right knee. And let's, before we talk about what this means for the Braves, just... this is a bad blow for baseball, if I'm being honest. The last time the Braves, this happened, the Braves won the World Series. But when you look at fantasy baseball drafts, when you look at us idiots that are projecting, you know, to channel Suk a little bit about, oh, who's the face of baseball? Like, I don't want to do that. But, like, Ronald Acuña is a face of baseball. I like to think baseball is more than one person, even though Shohei is Shohei. I like to think there's other dudes. Losing Ronald Acuña for the 2024 season, as I feel baseball is gaining some momentum, is pretty difficult.
Yeah, pretty difficult in general. I mean, like, in this year, I was reading an article today. I mean, we already knew this, but with hitting being down as much as it is, like, just losing any pop in any lineup at this point, any big name on that side of the plate is just, it really takes the wind out of the sails for the league, but especially, I mean, for this Braves team. I mean, he wasn't having a Ronald Acuña-esque season
yet.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, we saw Judge, start putting some things together. We saw Jose Ramirez start putting some things together, and good baseball players figure it out. So was it just a matter of time? But now we don't get to see that. And you just got to feel that in that clubhouse, in that fan base, that You want to talk about wind out of the sails. It's just like you're losing one of your leaders, if not your leader on that side of the ball. It's just devastating.
Well, I think one of the most difficult things about it is, like, let me just, like, dial this back for a minute. Let's just take the name off the jersey for a second. Last year, we have a bunch of new rule changes where yours truly here is very skeptical of, is very much like, pitch clock, larger bases, I don't know. You're trying to create offense, but shorten the game. The more hits you have, the longer the game goes because of pitching changes, et cetera, et cetera.
Taking away the shift.
And Ronald Acuna made me a believer in the new rules. I mean, he stole 80 bags last year, something we haven't seen since Ricky, you know? And Ricky hasn't played since... he played in the early 2000s, but let's be real. Like, Ricky hasn't played since the mid-90s, late 90s, and now we have this resurgence of stolen bases. Like, I'm in a fantasy league where stolen bases are things people are talking about, and we never talked about them because we didn't care, because nobody ever did it. So even if you take the name off the back of the jersey, he was doing things that nobody else thought would happen from the rule changes. He's the reigning National League MVP. I still thought, up until I heard about this injury, that the Braves were the best team in the National League. I know the Dodgers are the Dodgers, but the Braves 5-9 blows the Dodgers 5-9 out of the water. And losing him is, I think, the worst thing that could have happened to baseball this year.
I mean, in general, for the league, you're now looking at what, like, the 10th major star that's very marketable, Mike Trout. How many other pitchers that you've seen go down, where essentially guys that are in your commercials for the postseason or the All-Star game right now are gone. So now no Fairweather fan has a reason to tune in because the names they recognize are down. And then for the Braves, you talk about the Dodgers in comparison. One thing the Braves do have is a lot better 5-9, and they have a lot better protection for each other in that lineup. Ultimately, the protection that Acuna offers to Ozzie Albies to everybody else on that roster is now gone, and that's a big deal. Obviously, the stolen bases are big as well with the rule changes, but that's something, man, they're going to be pitched to a lot more aggressively by starters now going every game into Atlanta.
I saw the opening day roster for the Atlanta Braves has played one game together.
Yikes.
That's it.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
that's it.
Not surprised. I mean,
you know, Riley's been a little banged up. They're platooning Kelnick out there. You know, Ozuna's missed a couple games. Not bad, but, like, guys just miss games.
Kelnick's going to start now. Like, every game is
what I read. Of course Kelnick's going to start now. And let's move that to this Braves conversation. I saw today that the Braves are not, they're saying it now. We'll see what happens when the deadline comes. But the Braves are saying we're looking more internally for the Acuna replacement. And while I love that, because you're kind of saying, hey, we've got a great farm system, which they do, and we're going to move that up. But it also makes me wonder if the Braves are kind of showing their hand here and saying, I don't know if we can trust him to be healthy all the time now.
Talking about Acuna being?
Yeah, that we've got to start looking internally and saying, can these guys be viable players in case Acuna goes, you know, Reds Griffey or Trout now, or, like, you had a flash and now we just can't rely on you, so we have to have someone internally instead of trading away all our guys to get people to come in to replace you. That I mean, the Braves are run really well, but I wonder if they tip their hand there.
Well, the thing is with Acuna, I mean, the thing they have going for him is that he's not signed to an insane deal, right? It's not one of these 10-year, 300 million. It was what? When they signed him, it was a 9-year, 95.
We talked about this. He's one of those young guys that took money up front, and that's going to help them from a payroll standpoint.
He's still 26. Like, whether he'll be able to...
But he's not coming back until the All-Star game next year.
Yeah. I get it. But the way that ACLs are now, like, you tore both one in each knee now.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that, if it keeps happening and it's just more knee injuries after more, like, yeah, there's a cause for concern, but I don't know. I feel like with his age, and you have if you look at his games played by season, I mean, his rookie year, 111. Year after that, in 2019, 156. In 2020, he gave you 46 in that 60-game season. 2021, first knee injury, 82 games. 2022, 119. Last year, 159. And then he's done for the year with 49. So there's a lot of at least 119, 111 games played in his career.
Well, the best thing about him, shout out Bill Walton, is he loves baseball.
Yeah.
So if he can play, he's going to play.
Yeah.
But to be a little biased and look at a player that I love, that I absolutely loved in a different sport who dealt with something like this, obviously not the caliber of Ronald Acuña, but somebody who won titles and was great. This reminds me of Klay Thompson. Okay, Klay Thompson was absolutely phenomenal. Two knee surgeries and then an Achilles, and he's done. Done.
Well, I would say the Achilles is probably what...
The Achilles is probably the one, but even more. But even after the two knees, it was like, that's not the Klay we're used to.
Yeah, but I mean...
Am I crazy on this?
No, but I don't want to... And I'm not a sports doctor, but I would say that, like, when it comes to basketball versus baseball, which one do you need to have better knees in?
Basketball.
It's a little bit more hips.
Fair.
Upper
fair
body
point.
In baseball, whereas, like, knees, yeah, it's important for, like, sprinting and stealing bases like he does. But as far as that up and down jumping motion that happens in basketball, I mean, that's why you see dudes with giant ice packs around their knees after NBA games, because they're literally disintegrating by the second. So that's where, again, like, torn ACLs, yeah, they suck. But as far as, like, baseball player goes, I mean, what? It's May? He might be back by the beginning of next season.
Real quickly, and then we'll get out on this. Does this change your perspective on the Braves? The last time this happened, the Braves won the World Series.
Yes. I mean, again, he was not having a Ronald Acuña-type season.
There's no Spencer Strider.
If he had four home runs and I think like 15 RBIs, he had a good amount of stolen bases, but it's just been a weird season already for him and the Braves. And just losing him and the potential of, like what you said, like, he wasn't playing like Acuña yet, but now knowing that you just will not have him there anymore, It is a total blow to this team's psyche. That if you're looking at, you know, the top of the National League, the Phillies team, the NL East, they're licking their chops. They're like, this is ours for the taking now.
Yeah, really quickly, Patrick, I kind of want to side with Joe on this one. I'm usually a conspiracy theory guy. I love it. I love putting the tinfoil hat on like 90% of the time. But the market for hitters, I mean, regardless of what teams wanted to pay, it didn't seem like teams were very hot on free agents this year. I kind of see that as maybe a reason for the Braves looking internally. And it can have success. Look at what the Mariners did last year with Mike Ford. He came up with 13 homers, 40-some ribbies. And then the Reds did the same thing with him this year. It's possible to find internal solutions.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. We'll keep an eye on them, but for the 12th year in a row of the 10 years we've done this, my World Series prediction doesn't sound really awesome, as I still pick the Braves, as I do every year, and I think the only year I didn't was in 2021. So we'll keep an eye on the Braves and see what this Acuña thing does. I just hope it doesn't put baseball a step back. When we come back, somebody else is stepping back. And
I think we're happy about this one.
I think we're a little more excited about this, but let's dive a little more into the X's and O's on that. It's the Hot Corner today, the Fan. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, at the bottom of the hour, we'll have Farrah Fowl, as we always do, and we'll touch on the National League. Joe and I were just talking during the break about, if you're down 3-0, do you just mail it in and kind of say, hey, this has never happened, so I don't know what we're going to do.
Cancun on three.
Galveston on three.
Galveston
on three. But we finally have the end of an era in baseball, and that is Angel Hernandez, 30-plus year umpire in Major League Baseball, has decided to call it quits. Now, I don't know if there's ever been a headline in the history of baseball, and you know me, I'm a history nut when it comes to baseball. I don't know if I've ever heard of an umpire calling it quits in the middle of a season, but here we are with Angel Hernandez calling it quits. I think Ken Rosenthal tweeted out that there was pressure from Major League Baseball to get him to resign. And Angel's,
like, Angel, for the love of God,
and
please.
Like a mutual resignation. But Angel's lawyer came out and said that Major League Baseball did not do that. So a little bit of a squirrely sources there on that. But what I find interesting, and I think the first thing that comes to my brain, like, I've seen a ton of awesome memes, all right? When Angel Hernandez takes a selfie and it's like his ear. You know, it's like not his face, it's just his ear because he's way outside.
Him signing his resignation papers and he signed it to the,
like,
right
all the
of the dotted
all the
line.
Boxes that you need to check are, like, checked outside the box.
Just a bit outside.
So it's been really funny to see those memes. But what I thought was interesting is, and somebody that I critique heavily and will continue, Aaron Boone came out and said he felt that Angel Hernandez was just a poster child for bad umpiring and was not truly a bad umpire.
Yeah, I'm sure that you just absolutely love Aaron Boone even more after him saying that, right?
Yeah, I'm an Aaron Boone defender. Like, I'm pretty much the opposite on Aaron Boone of you, but that is one of the stupidest things out of his mouth. Like, really? Like, of course there's other bad umpires, but I think there were games where he would call, like, less than 70% of his pitches correct. So no, he's more than just the poster boy.
Now, what I will say is, God, I can't believe I'm going to do this. I think I'm going to do this. I'm not sticking up for Angel Hernandez. I think Angel Hernandez is at a point where the game is past you. That whether it's your eyesight or how pitchers manipulate pitches, whether it's a cutter or the sweeper now, and, like, all these pitches that have evolved, and half of them we don't even know what the name is. I was listening to Tom Hamilton call Cleveland, Colorado yesterday, and he was like, I think that was a slider, but it might have been a changeup. Hard to tell from up here. You know, and that guy's been calling games for decades and is a Hall of Fame announcer. So I don't know if Angel just got passed by on that, but the reality is like, when you look at the worst moments in Angel Hernandez's history, it's really just bad calls. He didn't cost anybody a World Series. He didn't cost anybody a perfect game. So I'm curious, when I think about Aaron Boone's comment about he's not the worst, he's just a poster child, how did we get to the point where Angel Hernandez became the poster child? Is it because he just doubled down?
It's because he sucked. What are we talking about here?
It's like, Joe is not having this.
No, dude, there's just time and time again of him just making bad calls. And yeah, you kind of said it, doubling down. And, like, besides Joe West, who he retired, and his, God, remember his whole Wikipedia page correction?
Yeah.
Fiasco a couple years ago. That was great. But again, like, dude, it just never ended. Never felt like you saw any improvement from Angel Hernandez. Like, I don't care what stats you show me. There would all, like, this year with the Bryce Harper check swing call, you have the one from Schwarber. When Schwarber is absolutely losing his mind
on
it.
The Schwarber one is
both sides. It's bleeped. Dude, like, oh my God.
It just, I mean, again, I don't know if it was a matter of his reputation preceded himself. And so any call that was just even borderline got inflated because of him. But the fact that it just happened way too much frequency, bro, where you are at the center of effing up. So please leave. Like, I'm not hearing any of it.
My last bit, because Joe, you're completely right. I was trying to play the devil's advocate here, which usually means if you're playing the devil's advocate, it usually means you agree you're just being an ass.
Some thin arguments there, bruh.
The one thing, you know, Mama didn't do Angel Hernandez any favors, and I mean it in this sense, that pronounced nose, jawline, the way he looked at people. And again, this goes back to the doubling down, is that he has this strong character face that looks at you and says, you're wrong, get out of here. He looks like a high school gym teacher.
Yep.
That tells you you're out. And you're like, yo, dude, I'm not out. And he's like, yeah, you're 12. I'm 40. get out of here.
No, that indignant look in the ALCS after three missed calls at first base, three were overturned, and then that ended up Joe Torre cited in his case that he ended up suing Major League Baseball for discrimination for not assigning him to a World Series. Oh, no, those missed calls are exactly why you weren't assigned. It had nothing to do with your skin color. It's just the look of indignance on his face was unbelievable.
Yeah, let's not forget that he tried to sue the MLB for racism. Yeah.
Well, a big part of it is the umpires have a union, just like the players.
Yeah, another reason why he should have been gone 10 years ago.
Hey, man, Jose Altuve and Carlos Correa and George Springer shouldn't be in the league either.
Yeah, Alex Bregman.
Yet they are.
That.
And Alex Bregman.
Yeah, add that, too.
They shouldn't be in the league either, yet they are.
Yeah.
Because they have a union, and the union has to protect Angel Hernandez.
I will say, though, I think much of the baseball community rallying around this because the top upvoted post on Reddit, on the baseball subreddit, 37,000 upvotes, Angel Hernandez to retire, much maligned MLB umpire calls it quits. Hey, if he did make one call right, it was just leaving. And not doing like a farewell tour.
The best call he's ever made.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good call on that one.
His Angel. Last game was May 9th. I don't know if anybody realized he hasn't been umping games for what, almost 3 weeks?
Well, and the last time he was on a postseason umpiring roster is like 15 years.
Good.
He used to do World Series. He used to be one of the top guys, and he hasn't been in the playoffs, let alone the World Series, for almost a decade.
Yeah, that ALCS, I think. That was his last playoff
assignment.
That was
it.
God.
So rest in peace, Angel Hernandez, not dead. But we'll end on this. I know we're tangenting, we're way up against it, but when Angel Hernandez leaves, I feel like, to Joe's point, like the top voted Reddit post that Angel Hernandez is gone, it's not like Hernandez is gone and everything's going to be just peach and keen. It's not like Hernandez is gone and we're moving to robot umps. No, the problems still remain. And I think that's what Aaron Boone is relating to. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm sticking up for Aaron Boone.
Hunter Wennerstedt throwing him out?
Yeah. Well, I think that's what Aaron Boone is relating to is that there's a systemic rules versus players versus the game issue going on, that getting rid of Angel is not the end of our issues.
This was reported, though, by Ken Rosenthal that he was not forced out. Hernandez lawyer Kevin Murphy told Rosenthal he was not forced out and that the MLB approached Hernandez about moving on from umpiring and he agreed.
Mm.
So that kind of seems like a force out. If little, MLB is coming up to you like, hey, 50-50. Dude, don't you think you should retire?
You know what? Yeah, I did not retire because right. Major League Baseball wanted me to. I'm retiring due to health concerns, praise God, and I want to spend more time with my family.
Well, does he retire if the MLB doesn't, like, approach him about it first? Like, that's the thing. He would have just kept going.
He would have kept going.
Like, if they did not actually come out and be like, dude, don't you think you should just call it quits?
Can I ask you a question real quick? We'll get out on this. And think about the impact of the game. Is Angel Hernandez a Hall of Famer?
Shut up. Stop. Shut up. How long do we really have to think about that?
Got an hour or two, for God's sakes.
All right. We come back. We'll take a peek around the chaotic National League, plus fair or foul at the bottom of the hour. We'll do that next. Hot Corner, Portland sports leader, Today the Fan. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour at the bottom of the hour, we'll have fair or foul as we always do, and we'll touch on the National League. Joe and I were just talking during the break about if you're down 3-0, do you just mail it in and kind of say, hey, this has never happened, so I don't know what we're going to do.
Cancun on three.
Galveston on three.
Galveston.
Galveston on three. But we finally have the end of an era in baseball, and that is Angel Hernandez, 30-plus year umpire in Major League Baseball, has decided to call it quits. Now, I don't know if there's ever been a headline in the history of baseball, and you know me, I'm a history nut when it comes to baseball. I don't know if I've ever heard of an umpire calling it quits in the middle of a season. But here we are with Angel Hernandez calling it quits. I think Ken Rosenthal tweeted out that there was pressure from Major League Baseball to get him to resign. And
Angel, for the love of God,
and
please.
Like a mutual resignation. But Angel's lawyer came out and said that Major League Baseball did not do that. So a little bit of a squirrely sources there on that. But what I find interesting, and I think the first thing that comes to my brain, like I've seen a ton of awesome memes. All right. When Angel Hernandez takes a selfie and it's like his ear. You know, it's like not his face. It's just his ear because he's way outside.
Him signing his resignation papers and all, and he signed it to the
like
right
all the
of the dotted
all the
line.
Boxes that you need to check are like checked outside the box.
Just a bit outside.
So it's been really funny to see those memes. But what I thought was interesting is, and somebody that I critique heavily and will continue, Aaron Boone came out and said he felt that Angel Hernandez was just a poster child for bad umpiring and was not truly a bad umpire.
Yeah, I'm sure that you just absolutely love Aaron Boone even more after him saying that, right?
Yeah, I'm an Aaron Boone defender. Like, I'm pretty much the opposite on Aaron Boone of you, but that is one of the stupidest things out of his mouth. Like, really? Like, of course there's other bad umpires, but I think there were games where he would call, like, less than 70% of his pitches correct. So, no, he's more than just the poster boy.
Now, what I will say is, God, I can't believe I'm going to do this. I think I'm going to do this.
Uh-oh.
I'm not sticking up for Angel Hernandez. I think Angel Hernandez is at a point where the game is past you. That whether it's your eyesight or how pitchers manipulate pitches, whether it's a cutter or the sweeper now, and like all these pitches that have evolved, and half of them we don't even know what the name is. I was listening to Tom Hamilton call Cleveland, Colorado yesterday, and he was like, I think that was a slider, but it might have been a changeup. Hard to tell from up here. You know, and that guy's been calling games for decades and is a Hall of Fame announcer. So I don't know if Angel just got passed by on that, but the reality is like when you look at the worst moments in Angel Hernandez's history, it's really just bad calls. He didn't cost anybody a World Series. He didn't cost anybody a perfect game. So I'm curious when I think about Aaron Boone's comment about he's not the worst, he's just a poster child. How did we get to the point where Angel Hernandez became the poster child? Is it because he just doubled down?
It's because he sucked. What are we talking about here?
It's like Joe is not having this.
No, dude, there's just time and time again of him just making bad calls. And yeah, you kind of said it, doubling down. And like, besides Joe West, who he retired, and his, God, remember his whole Wikipedia page correction?
Yeah.
Fiasco a couple years ago. That was great. But again, like, dude, it just never ended. Never felt like you saw any improvement from Angel Hernandez. Like, I don't care what stats you show me. There would all, like, this year with the Bryce Harper check swing call, you had the one from Schwarber. When Schwarber is absolutely losing his mind
the
on
Schwarber
it.
One is rough.
Both sides. It's bleeped. Dude, like, oh my God.
It just, I mean, again, I don't know if it was a matter of his reputation preceded himself. And so any call that was just even borderline got inflated because of him. But the fact that it just happened way too much frequency, bro, where you are at the center of effing up. So please leave. Like, I'm not hearing any of it.
My last bit, because Joe, you're completely right. I was trying to play the devil's advocate here, which usually means if you're playing the devil's advocate, it usually means you agree you're just being an ass.
Some thin arguments there, bruh.
The one thing, you know, Mama didn't do Angel Hernandez any favors, and I mean it in this sense, that pronounced nose, jawline, the way he looked at people. And again, this goes back to the doubling down, is that he has this strong character face that looks at you and says, you're wrong, get out of here. He looks like a high school gym teacher.
Yep.
That tells you you're out. And you're like, yo, dude, I'm not out. And he's like, yeah, You're 12. I'm 40. Get out of here.
No, that indignant look in the ALCS after three missed calls at first base, three were overturned, and then that ended up Joe Torre cited in his case that he ended up suing Major League Baseball for discrimination for not assigning him to a World Series. Oh, no, those missed calls are exactly why you weren't assigned. It had nothing to do with your skin color. It's just the look of indignance on his face was unbelievable.
Yeah, let's not forget that he tried to sue the MLB for racism. Yeah,
well, a big part of it is the umpires have a union, just like the players.
Yeah, another reason why he should have been gone 10 years ago.
Hey, man, Jose Altuve and Carlos Correa and George Springer shouldn't be in the league either.
Yeah, Alex Bregman.
Yet they are.
That.
And Alex Bregman.
Yeah, add that, too.
They shouldn't be in the league either, yet they are.
Yeah.
Because they have a union, and the union has to protect Angel Hernandez.
I will say, though, I think much of the baseball community rallying around this because the top upvoted post on Reddit, on the baseball subreddit, 37,000 upvotes, Angel Hernandez to retire, much maligned MLB umpire calls it quits. Hey, if he did make one call right, it was just leaving.
Leaving.
And not doing like a farewell tour.
The best call he's ever made.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good call on that one.
His last game was May 9th. I don't know if anybody realized he hasn't been umping games for what, almost 3 weeks?
Well, and the last time he was on a postseason umpiring roster is like 15 years.
Good.
He used to do World Series. He used to be one of the top guys, and he hasn't been in the playoffs, let alone the World Series, for almost a decade.
Yeah, that ALCS, I think. That was his last playoff
assignment.
That was
it.
God.
So rest in peace, Angel Hernandez, not dead. But what's and we'll end on this. I know we're tangenting, we're way up against it, but when Angel Hernandez leaves, I feel like, to Joe's point, like the top voted Reddit post that Angel Hernandez is gone. It's not like Hernandez is gone and everything's going to be just peachy keen. It's not like Hernandez is gone and we're moving to robot umps. No, the problems still remain. And I think that's what Aaron Boone is relating to. Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm sticking up for Aaron Boone.
Hunter Wendelstedt throwing him out?
Yeah. Well, I think that's what Aaron Boone is relating to is that there's a systemic rules versus players versus the game issue going on, that getting rid of Angel is not the end of our issues.
This was reported, though, by Ken Rosenthal that he was not forced out. Hernandez lawyer Kevin Murphy told Rosenthal he was not forced out and that the MLB approached Hernandez about moving on from umpiring and he agreed.
Mm.
So that kind of seems like a force out. If little, MLB is coming up to you like, hey, 50-50. Dude, don't you think you should retire?
You know, like, what? Yeah, I did not retire because Major League Baseball wanted me to. I'm retiring due to health concerns, praise God, and I want to spend more time with my family.
Well, does he retire if the MLB doesn't, like, approach him about it first? Like, that's the thing. He would have just kept going.
He would have kept going.
Like, if they did not actually come out to him, like, dude, don't you think you should just call it quits?
Can I ask you a question real quick? We'll get out on this. And think about the impact of the game. Is Angel Hernandez a Hall of Famer?
Shut up. Stop. Shut up. How long do we really have to think about that?
Go to hour two, for God's sakes.
All right. We come back. We'll take a peek around the chaotic National League, plus fair or foul at the bottom of the hour. We'll do that next. Hot Corner, Portland sports leader, today the Fan.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.